to tell you what a blessing you have standing before you. I'm serious. And I feel like the Lord wants to say that because I think too many times we take for granted voices that get up in front of us that are really pure of heart and desire the heart of God, that have laid everything down, have went through trials, and they're saying, you know what, I don't have anything to do with this world. I love him. I'm in love with him. He's my king, my savior. I'm living for the kingdom. I'm living for God. And her heart is to speak life into you tonight. And she's tender. I'll go on. She's very tender, but she'll shout at you every once in a while. But she's very tender and loves the Lord in a powerful way. So take everything in that this woman shares with you tonight, okay? So let's pray for her. Why don't you reach your hands out toward Londa? Lord, we just thank you for this woman of God who's laid her life down for you, that has walked through many valleys, but has trusted you in the midst of those valleys. And she's been on some mountaintops, and she finds whether she's in the valley or in the mountain that her eyes are going to stay on you, God. And so use her tonight. We ask that you would bring healing in the time of prayer. We ask that even while she's speaking, that you would bring healing and restoration to those that have gathered here tonight. So bless her and use her as your vessel tonight for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, God.
Good evening. I'm just so thrilled that you all came out, because you know that means you're hungry. And you can't get hungry enough. So I just pray more hunger over you. I just wanted to share something personal with you tonight. Could I have the lights fixed a little bit so that I'm not blinded? Tomorrow is my husband and I, our anniversary, 42 years. And yeah, and I just want to publicly thank him. He honors me. He loves me. He blesses me. And men, if you don't pray over your wives, you need to take lessons from him, because he sets me up before the Lord and he blesses me, and he calls into existence in things in my life which are not, things that he sees over me. He prophesies over me, and he's always just completely supportive of what God's doing in my life. And without that, without my husband, I don't know that I'd be up here. Because he's 100% behind me. So I just want to say thank you. I love you. Yeah. I want to talk to you tonight about the Lord. Surprise. I was just meditating about God, and you know everything about God. Everything about God. There's nothing about God that isn't about life. He's all about life. I mean, when he breathes life, so even when he breathes, life is created. When he speaks, life is created. He is life. He sustains life. Everything about him is life, and we, I think we take that for granted sometimes, but our very breath, every breath, the trees, I mean, all nature, everything is sustained by the life that God gives. If he withheld, we would all in an instant die, everything. But he sustains, gives, and continues to give life. And if you look at number one right there on your notes, we, ever since the fall, ever since mankind sinned, we have misunderstood God's heart for us. We misunderstand him. We walked with him in unity in the garden. We had complete access to him, but when sin came, that caused a separation, and from that point on, the enemy started to lie to us about who God is and his intentions towards us. The enemy will do anything and everything in his power to cause you to misunderstand God at some level, any level. He doesn't care. I mean, if he can just get a little bit in there, a little bit of doubt or a little bit of questioning, then he can work it after that. So he's after, that's his goal. You know, he wants to cause a separation between you and God. He wants to turn your heart against the Lord. So that's his aim. So in Jeremiah 2:13, it says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." If y'all, we don't really have much in the way of cisterns in our country. There's a few old ones left, but mostly we have the technology to dig deep wells where needed. I know we lived in Arizona, Chris and I are from the Southwest, and wells can go down several hundred feet, even, you know, 900 feet. But in Bible country and other parts of the world, they still dig cisterns and wells. But the difference is a cistern looks like, I don't know if you all know what a genie bottle looks like, or that kind of, it's got a long narrow spout, and then it gets wide at the bottom. And the cisterns would go down about 30, 40 feet, and they would plaster them with cement on the inside. So somebody had to go down there and dig that out. And then they would plaster the site, plaster it with cement, try and keep it as clean as possible. And then they, on the outside, up at the ground level, they would build trenches and things that would catch rainwater and fill that cistern to the best that nature would allow. It would catch the water, and they put a narrow top so that they could cap it. It would keep things from falling in. It would also keep their enemies out of it. And so they would put a big rock there. When those cisterns become old and cracked, of course, they don't hold water. So the people, the Lord's likening their, what they're doing, they're forsaking him, and they're building cisterns, broken cisterns at that. Number two there, in our efforts to fill the hurt and empty places in our hearts. You know, every time that the enemy robs you of something, he's robbing truth from you is what he's doing at ground level. He's lying to you, and he's trying to inflict, you know, when we hurt each other, our parents hurt us when we're little, or our playmates or siblings or somebody. I don't know anybody. I haven't met anybody yet that grew up not being hurt by someone. The enemy's right there to start telling you lies about you in that place. And he'll start with little lies, and they sound like half-truths. And so he'll begin to build upon those lives as you walk through life. He'll take every opportunity to begin to build on those lives. And pretty soon what we've done is that place gets big enough, and we put a wall. So it creates a hurt place in our heart, an empty place. And because we don't know how to fill it, we begin to put walls around it. So we're covering with cement. So we're making a wall to protect that hurt place. Our flesh will rise up because we don't like to be in pain. And our flesh will rise up in desperation to somehow make that place not hurt. We don't want our heart to hurt. And so we'll put walls around it, and we'll try and make it so that it doesn't hurt. And we'll try and fill it with something. And just to all of that is to avoid pain, because we don't know how to go to the Lord for his truth. In Jeremiah 2:18, it says, "But now what are you doing on the road to Egypt to drink the waters of the Nile? Or what are you doing on the road to Syria to drink the waters of the Euphrates?" That's what we do. Number three there, as soon as we have a wound in our heart, and we don't want it to hurt, so we end up traveling a different path, one that leads to addictions, anger, gazing on things that aren't holy, anything that will bring a feeling of even fleeting comfort is used as something in which to fill the cistern that we've created. We reach out in desperation to fill it with something. Where our heart, you all felt pain in your heart. There's an ache, and you don't know how to not feel it, and so you start patting that thing and building walls around it, and then you start to fill it. It can be food. It can be movies, it can be pornography, anything. But it's that numbing, it starts a numbing. You want something that's going to be a distraction and take your focus off of that pain. And so we're running to the Euphrates to get filled up on that, or we're running to the Nile to get filled up on that, to try and drink from those waters so that we can do something, so we're doing something. Because we can't just sit and do nothing when we're hurting. That's a hard place. You know, we start getting into depression. And that's a hard place. Once you have that overtake you, it's hard to get out of there. And so the extremes become even more extreme. We try even harder to numb that, to get rid of that pain. And but there is God, you know. He has life. He has life for you. And he wants to, my heart tonight is to show you how to reach for life instead of death. Because that's what we're choosing. The Niles and the Euphrates it's not living water. That's contaminated water. And the cistern is cracked and it can't hold any water. The cistern has nothing to fill it. In John 7:37 and 38, it says, "Now, on the final and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried in a loud voice, 'If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts and relies on me, as the scriptures have said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water.'" You know, the difference between a well and a cistern is a well. You dig a well and it's a straight shaft down to living water. That there's a river under there and it doesn't... You know, that river is going to flow. If you hit a good well, that river is not going to run dry. And you've always got fresh water in your well. That's what we want to dig, not the cistern. You know, the cistern is like, I almost thought of naming this cracked pots. You know, we're kind of like a bunch of cracked pots where it's just it looks like a big pot stuck in the ground that's cracked. And cracked pots leak. We don't want to leak except Holy Spirit stuff. We want to splash on people, but full of the Holy Spirit, not full of our woundedness. You start splashing woundedness on people, and they're going to either become wounded themselves, more wounded themselves, or they're going to avoid you because they can feel that. They can feel that on you. Nobody likes to be splashed with your hurts, you know, because hurts hurt. So Jesus is living water. He is. There's nothing about Christ. You know, even in the death of Christ, it brought life. It brought life. Life sprung from death, right? And so there's nothing about God that is about death and dying. It's all about life and living. Jesus says, "Come to me so I give you life and so that you have it more abundantly." You know, it's like the fullness and richness of Christ are never ending. He's a ever flowing fount of living water, and so we need to learn how to tap into that. Somebody hit number four there. Somebody who's thirsty is painfully conscious of his need of those things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened. So you're all thirsty, or you wouldn't be here tonight. That's a good thing. Thirst is because you recognize you have a need. You recognize that you're thirsty. That's number one. We all need to admit that and recognize that in us, that we're needy. We need the living waters of the Lord. We need to be refreshed. We need to be strengthened. We need to be built up. We need to be healed. We need to have peace, those things spoken into us. Only the Lord can do that. Isaiah 55:1 says, "Wait and listen, everyone who is thirsty. Come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy priceless spiritual wine and milk without money and without price, simply for the self-surrender that accepts the blessing." You have to be surrendered. You have to, you know, part of the reason that we build those walls, what happens is then we don't want anybody in to those hurt places, and we don't want the Lord in, because we don't, you know, we're not so sure that he'll take it. We're not so sure that he knows what to do with it. And so we build those walls, and it's hard for us to let down our defenses, but we need to. We need to get soft before the Lord. Need to humble ourselves before the Lord. Step out in your need. He already knows it's there. Step out in it and go low. Number five there, we don't like to wait. When it says wait and listen, we don't like waiting. We're such a gotta have it now. We get tired of trying to listen and not hearing anything because we misunderstand God's intentions. We have trouble listening. We have trouble trusting in his goodness when so many bad things happen to the good and the innocent. Here's what we end up doing. There's a lot of bad things happen in this world, and it's going to get a lot worse. And our woundedness causes us not to trust the Lord. We start questioning his wisdom. We start questioning whether he's real. We start questioning whether he's there for me, whether he loves me, whether I'm good enough, whether I'm this or that, enough for him, enough. You know, there's that thing about most everybody has that thing, I'm not enough. So what we do is we start doubting the Lord, we start questioning him, and we end up eventually taking God Almighty, pure and holy, you know what he told me? He said, I don't have time to develop this tonight, but you think about it. Because it's pretty amazing. I will develop it in the future. But he said, Londa, you know, salvation, just the very act of salvation is a covenant expression of the depth of my love. Covenant expression of the depth of his love. You can't get any, you can't have more love than a holy, pure God that comes down because he sees the need in all of our brokenness and woundedness. And he knows that without him, without him, we have no chance. And he created us for relationship. at the risk of losing all the ones that he created. You're the apple of his eye. He loves you. And at the risk of losing you forever, he comes down and makes a covenant with his love with you. That's love. Covenant expression. So what we end up doing is taking that purity of God and we reduce him to a human sinful level. When we start doubting and not being able to, we question his wisdom, we get angry at him because he doesn't do things that we think he should be doing, or he doesn't act in a way that we think he should be acting. We're really, in actuality, this sounds harsh, but we're really taking someone that died for us out of pure love, and we're bringing him down to a human level. We're reducing him. And that's not possible to do. It's only possible to do in your heart. But in reality, it's impossible. Because God is without sin, thankfully. He is pure. He's still God, regardless of what we think of him. He's still God. He still loves you unconditionally. His heart is still pure and his intentions are still good towards you. In all of our misunderstanding, God is still trustworthy. He is still faithful. Even when we're not feeling it, it doesn't change who he is. It doesn't change the reality of who he is. That's awesome. In John 10:10, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. We have to remember there's an enemy, and we have to remember that we don't understand the spiritual realm. We have a lot of questions. We have a lot of things that we can't answer. We can try and reason it. We can try and figure it out. And we gain in revelation to an extent. But until we see in the Spirit, and face to face with God, and can ask questions on that level and see what he sees and hear what he hears, we're not going to understand fully. So there's going to be questions. But that doesn't mean we have to have doubt. Jesus came to give life in abundance till it overflows. You need to claim that life. We need to take the rock off that cistern and let his truth come in there and fill it. Then it's no longer a cistern. It's a well of living water. It brings life to the very places that the enemy meant to kill you, to kill something in you, to kill a part of your heart. God wants to come in and bring life to that very part. In Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance. That word faith right there is the literal translation from a Hebrew perspective is trust. The word trust. They're very close, faith and trust. But I'm just going to say trust right now, just so you can get the full, a little fuller impact here. Now, trust is the assurance, the confirmation, and the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of the things we do not see, in the conviction of their reality, trust perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. That is how we need to walk with the Lord. In the places that we don't understand, We need to have that level of trust in him. We need to get to know his heart. We need to get to know his character, his personality. And the more the deeper you go into that well, it's like you let that well wash over you. The word, you get into the word, you soak in it, you meditate on it, you ask the Lord to start, you lift up those hurts. This is how you let him fill it. You lift up the hurt. You say, God, find a belief statement that you believe about yourself. Like, I'm no good. You know, I know there's some of you out there who you're somebody made you feel like you're no good. There's nothing good about you. You're unacceptable. So you just take that to the Lord. Let yourself be that little kid that felt that. Just take it to the Lord and say, God, I believe that I'm no good. Make sure that feels true in your heart. You want a truth, you want what feels true to you. Just say, I feel I'm no good. There's nothing good in me. Then just say, what do you want me to know? Just what do you want me to know about that? And trust him to speak to you somehow. He speaks. He's going to either just take that feeling away. That's still speaking, because only God can take that pain away. He's going to just take it away, or you're going to hear him say something. A scripture might come to mind. Or you might get a picture or an understanding. However he chooses, he will. He's after that pain. He wants it. Because that pain, that belief right there will keep you from being who he says you are. That's a lie. And so he wants to give you truth. It's an exchange of power. You get that? It's an exchange of life and death. And so God wants to take death that's been spoken over you and that you believed, and he wants to exchange it for life. And he wants to give you the truth of who you say he is. I've told you all before, there's no way 10 years ago that I would have been up here. You have no idea what's going on in my head to get me to be able to speak. It's like, you know how Superman had this really silly alternate identity, and then when he stepped into Superman, it was the exact opposite, and nobody ever caught on because they were so opposite. That was the way I was, seriously. And so for my mind to get shifted into who God is saying who I am has been a lot of sitting before him and saying, I believe this, what do you think? And letting him speak life into me and exchange who I thought I was for who he says I am. And when he does that, then you're going to step into who he's calling you to be. Every one of you have a call on your life. You're a voice. You have an impact for the kingdom at some level. Doesn't matter the level, where we're all in this together. And so whatever function that you have, whatever job God has for you and who he says you are, you need to embrace it. Because unless I embrace this, I'll never do it. I wouldn't have the courage, for one thing. I would have been so nervous that I would be sitting there crying right now, because I could, you know, and I'm up here in perfect peace, and like there is no fear, no condemnation, which that's God. You know, so he wants to transform who you think you are from who you think you are into who he says you are. And in that place, you're going to walk in authority and power. You're going to be doing the things that he said he's called you to do, not what you think you're supposed to do. Now, if you've had a lot of healing or different than I was, you might be already embracing who he says you are. But I think there's a lot of people that I'm not an exception. I think there's a lot of people like me. Faith, trust, and the fear of the Lord is our anchor that will cement our love in our God, who holds nothing back in order to be with us. We must learn to trust his love. This is our taproot. You know, a tree has a taproot. Chris and I mentioned, grew up in the Southwest. There's a tree called a mesquite tree. Escaped my mind there. It's a mesquite tree. It doesn't have a lot of big leaves. The leaves are real tiny, but it lives in harsh climate. And that tree, the root will go down really far, like really far, and because it has to find water. If you look at around here, if you look at after a storm, a really strong storm, you'll see a lot of evergreens that have fallen over more than any other tree. Evergreens don't have a taproot. They just, wind is coming, I'll just fall over. You know, they just can't stand. But you'll see other trees that have taproots and they might break off, but they're not tipped over. The tops might break off, but the trunk is intact. So that's the difference. And our taproot with the Lord needs to be love and trust. It's the fear of the Lord. It's what Jesus delighted in. It's what we need to delight in. We need to grow that in our hearts, the fear of the Lord. It's your taproot. When the enemy comes to try and blow you over or push you over, you won't even feel it. When you have that taproot dug deep. In Jeremiah 17:8, it says, "For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but his leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit." It's because that tree knows where to plant its roots. That needs to be us. We need to know how to dig our roots deep in the Lord, into the springs of living water. Go deep with him. He'll go as deep as you can go. You can't get too deep with the Lord. He'll always leave us wanting more. In Galatians 5:22. Excuse me, let me read number 8 there for you. "What has been stolen from us is easily filled." You know, I can have the biggest lie in me, and I've had some whoppers. I can have the biggest lie in me, and a minute the Lord speaks to me about that lie, it goes. It's gone. It's gone. It's the God's ability to fill that cistern with truth is way bigger than the enemy's ability to fill it with lies. The minute we cooperate with him and say yes, he comes right in there and fills it. "What has been stolen from us is easily filled by what has been given to us. We just need to drink from the well, Jesus, and not the cistern. The living truth and the love of God is an everlasting fount of everything that is life-giving." In Galatians 5:22-23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Those things are the things that flow out of the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And when your tap roots, when your roots are going deep into the spring of living water, into Jesus, you're going to be an expression of those very things. That's what he wants to fill you with. "I walk in great peace." A lot of joy. Love is exploding. You know, it's like everything that he is, he fills you with. I mean, it's available. He wants you to look like him. He wants you to, you're his son and daughter. He wants you to look like him, to be like him. You're meant not to be a cistern. You're not meant to even have those. You're meant to carry the very glory of God. What an awesome thing. Just invite Michael to come. And we're going to just have a time of praying for you. Have the team come. And you know, even with the physical things that we deal with, we can even put walls in those places. I know I have. In my history, I've built a lot of explanations of this or that to try and make sense of what's going on in my body. And a lot of hurt came from that. A lot of struggles and trying to, and then when you start getting into a healing ministry and you start trying to figure out, if I believe that, why isn't this happening? It's just, you know, it's more opportunity for me to either trust in the Lord with all that I am and continue to let him speak truth to me of the lies that the enemy would like to fill me with. So, is Michael still here, or do we not have any? We might not have any ministry, musical ministry, but I just want to invite you to stand, and we're going to have ministry, all right. We're always, our heart as a healing team is to lift you up before the Lord and let you experience his truth. Let him speak into your life. He's here to restore, to heal, to express his love to you. Because he made a covenant with you to love you with all that he is. You just need to let him. So I just invite you to start coming forward. If you'd like to be prayed for, just start coming forward for any reason, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, doesn't matter. We invite you. I just hear the word lonely. Loneliness. I invite you to come. Invite the team to come forward and to start praying for people. I feel like there's somebody here that has anger that would like to be released from anger. I just invite you to come forward. I hear the word spiritual dryness, like just feeling dry inside spiritually. If that's you, I invite you to come.